Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Our Father, who art in heaven. Number one, his person. Number two, his pardon. And number three, his passion. The God-hating atheist Richard Dawkins said the following: "The God of the Old Testament is arguably the most unpleasant character in all fiction. Jealous and proud of it. A petty, unjust, unforgiving control freak. A vindictive, bloodthirsty ethnic cleanser. A misogynistic, homophobic racist. An infanticidal, genocidal, filicidal, pestilential, megalomaniacal, sadomasochistic, capricious, malevolent bully." He will answer for those words. God, according to Richard Dawkins, is a petty, ugly, vicious tyrant. Such a God I would not believe in, nor should you. However, that definition is based upon human speculation. Divine revelation is very different. In the Old Testament, we read, "The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us." The God of Revelation has revealed himself in names. Elohim, God. Adonai, Lord and Master. El Shaddai, the Lord God Almighty. El Elyon, the Most High God. Yahweh, Lord Jehovah. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord, my banner. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jehovah Reha, the Lord my shepherd. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that heals. Jehovah Shema, the Lord who is there. Jehovah Sidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord is peace. When the scribes and the Pharisees gathered around the Lord Jesus Christ, they knew those names. They also knew that the God of the Old Testament, revealed in names, had revealed himself as Father, but Father to Israel alone. It was shocking to them that one of their rabbis, so-called, not only met and mixed with publicans and sinners, but told a story that displayed the Father's heart for rebel men and women in a way in which had never before been revealed. Here they are in Luke 15, gathered around him. Tax collectors, sinners, disciples, scribes and Pharisees, can you hear their conversation. He not only meets with them, he not only mixes with them, he eats. He eats with publicans and sinners. He associates with them. He embraces them. Not only so, this master communicator took the visible to illustrate the invisible, took the temporal to illustrate the spiritual, took the earthly to illustrate the heavenly, and told these amazing parables. The lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. Charles Dickens said, "The parable of the prodigal son is the greatest short story ever told." Actually, it is far more about the father than it ever is about the son. And here, the Lord Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, brings revelation that the creator and sustainer of the universe, the infinite, eternal, unchanging, holy, righteous, just, sovereign Lord, is a father who welcomes sons and daughters home. And in this parable, we have our Father who art in heaven, his person. There was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me." And he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Here's what Jesus reveals about the person of the Father. He is tender, he is generous, he is wise, he is patient, he is loving. This father is tender in the face of rejection. "I reject your rule. I wish you were dead. Because if you were dead, I would enter into the inheritance which is mine." And yet the father is tender in the face of rejection. He is generous in the face of selfishness. "Give me, I want, I need, I must have my inheritance." And the father generously, open-handedly, willingly gave it. Not only so, he is wise in the face of rebellion. For he goes into a far country. He wastes his substance on riotous living. You can picture the young man, can't you? Every pub in town, the brothel he'll visit, the casino he'll visit. You can imagine fathers wanting to strangle this boy, having used and abused their daughters. But he's the life and soul of the party. Yet this father, tender and generous, was wise enough to let him go. Knowing what he would do, knowing where he would be, he let him go. And patient in the face of indecency, Because now the boy has a reputation. And the reputation is for immorality and idolatry and indecency of the worst sort. And yet he stains the name of his father. And yet the father remains patient in the face of the rude, lewd, and crude lifestyle of his son. And not only so, he remains loving in the face of disgrace, because perhaps the news must have filtered through, or certainly when he saw him, he realized he'd been in a pigsty up to his ears in muck and filth and grime and stench. A Jewish boy among the pigs? It's a disgrace. An absolute disgrace. But here's his person, tender in the face of rejection, generous in the face of selfishness, wise in the face of rebellion, patient in the face of indecency, and loving in the face of disgrace. That's our Father who is in heaven. Number two, we're told of his pardon. When the boy came to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' And they began to celebrate." Our Father in heaven is the God who loves to welcome and pardon the straying. Look at this Father seeking every day, looking across the fields, "When is my son coming?" Seeking, longing, yearning, aching, waiting. Look at this Father. He sees the son coming in all of his stench, in all of his filth. He picks up his skirts, tucks them into his belt, and the old man, something unthinkable in Jewish culture, this old man begins to run towards the straying, erring, filthy, dirty, stinking son. But before the boy can get out his plea of repentance and his plea to receive him just as one of the hired servants, something more unthinkable. The father is kissing the boy. No one in their right mind would go anywhere near someone so filthy. But he embraces him. Kisses him. And, "Father, I have sinned against heaven." Before he can get out the record of his past sins, the father is deleting from his own mind and from the memory of the boy coming towards him everything he's done in the past. Do you know what the Old Testament prophet said? "He has buried our sins in the deepest sea." the Pacific Ocean, 7 miles deep, deeper than that, and put up a sign, no fishing. We know the conscience like an adder stingeth and all our wasted past upbringeth, but it is not God who brings up, parades before you, and tells you all about the guilt of your past. It is not. He buries our sins in the depths of the sea, and he puts up the sign, no fishing, presses the delete button, and won't even mention it. Not only so, this is a time for celebration. Come on, put some new clothes on him. Put a ring on his finger. Put shoes on his feet. And come on, let's kill the fatted calf. Let's celebrate. Let's rejoice. His pardon. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth. Thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide. Strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine with 10,000 beside. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, oh, my soul. Thirdly, his passion. Now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he received him back safe and sound. But the older brother was angry, refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you. I've never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed a fattened calf for him. And the father said to his son, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. Here is the passion of the Father. It is to display grace. Grace which abounds to the chief of sinners. The chief of sinners who is reckless, and the chief of sinners who is righteous. You see, this boy, he would never be found in a pub, never be found in a brothel, would never visit the casino, would never use and abuse other people. He was respectable and upright and hardworking and loyal and good. And yet in his heart, there was anger. There was self-righteousness. There was a complaining, moody, surly spirit. And there was bitter resentment. You've never done anything like this for me. Son, you're always on my mind. You're always on my heart. All that I have is yours. Isn't this amazing? Perhaps self-righteousness really is the ugliest thing to the eyes of God. And the way to his grace is the same for the reckless as it is for the righteous. We have to come to our senses, come back to the Father, admit that we have sinned, and allow him to display his grace. Because the passion of God is to display his grace so that angels and the whole of heaven celebrate the returning of sinners to the Father. His person, his pardon, his passion. Take these truths home with you. The God of the Bible superabounds in grace. Where sin abounds, grace does much more abound. Take this lesson home with you. The patience of God is true to his own character. He is infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. And there is no limit to his patience. No earthly father loves like thee. No mother e'er so mild bears and forbears as you have done with me, your sinful child. Take this lesson home with you. The rebellious and the righteous receive the grace of God in the same way. By the manifestation of God's kindness and mercy to undeserving sinners. Take this lesson home with you, will you please? If you are a true believer here, washed in the blood of Christ, clothed in the righteousness of heaven, been welcomed home, caused angels to rejoice, lift up your heart and worship him. And then go to the world and tell everyone, because everybody should know, I have such a marvelous Savior that everybody should know. And if, dressed in your Sunday best, your conscience is on fire, your secret life is a pigsty, come home. He is willing and able to save to the uttermost. In the uprising in China, a man by the name of Chang Men was blind. He was really angry, angry with God and angry with the world. God's grace invaded his life. This man, visually impaired, became an evangelist and won hundreds of people to the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Boxer uprising meant that Christians were being persecuted even to the point of death. They wanted the ringleader, which was Chang Men. And they said, we will kill 50 Christians every day until Chang Men is captured. When he found this out, this loving pastor and evangelist gave himself up. He was being taken to be decapitated. On the way, he sang this song. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gate to open wide. He will wash away my sin, let this little child come in. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. If I love him when I die, he will take me home on high. Before the sword fell, he said, Father, receive my spirit. Listen to me. I am not a universalist, but I do passionately believe with all my heart that the love of God is broader than the measure of men's minds, that the heart of the eternal is most wonderfully kind, but we make his love too narrow by false limits of our own, and we magnify his strictness with a zeal he will not own. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Let's stand and sing.